The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to have you in. Weekend edition is here. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, the embattled Colton Stone. My God. Colton walks in.
What happened?
Well, he just doesn't feel good.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You got some sputter butt over there? What's going on?
Sputter butt for the win on the Hail Varsity Weekend Bingo card at 6:07.
You're going to be throwing to commercial
7:07,
break.
7:07, of course, not mountain time.
You're going to be throwing a commercial break, and Colton's MIA.
Colton's going to go 4-2-40 out of the can. That's almost as fast as Wandale Robinson.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
How about that? Here's what's on the docket today. We are loaded up. I mean, it's a recruiting season. So we'll react to Wandale Robinson flipping from Kentucky to Nebraska. We'll spend some time on that. It is Nebraska Creighton Day. It is the mother of all Nebraska Creighton matchups. If it's ever going to happen, it happens today for Nebraska basketball against their bitter in-state rival. Dare you call it a rivalry, because, you know, to be a rivalry, it has to go back and forth. That has not happened. You can join us this morning, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. You can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com, Mark at HaleVarsity.com, and please give us a follow on Twitter, and can torment us or ask us questions or just participate. Can get at us at Schmidt_radio, at Mark Skurs, at Two Birds, One Stone, which PETA may or may not approve for Colton Stone's Twitter handle. Kranak, what's the week look like for you, man? How you been?
Well, I'm okay. How are you, Chris?
Good, man. Doing all right.
I'm going to watch Creighton, Nebraska today at 5.
And you can tune in on the ESPN Lincoln app, because you'll be in Omaha for the Real Red Tip-Off show from 4 to 5 down in the rail yard.
There you go.
I'll shut up and let you proceed.
Probably what I'll do. And then volleyball's same time.
Same time, right. So you're going to go split screen.
Yeah, I might have to do that.
Uh-huh.
Although that gets weird once you have the cable set up and, you know.
Right.
I think this is
the day you make the argument for more of a media room with Mama.
Yeah,
270
right.
inches in your basement.
Yeah,
I've seen your basement, and it's really nice. Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
But I think you get that
one
second
screen.
70 inch.
Yeah, that's probably down there. 40 inches would probably be really good down there.
Okay.
Just flipping back and forth between those, and oh man, got some thoughts on Nebraska Creighton, especially after.
Especially after Wednesday.
Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know.
Man, it was more of the same in the grand scope of soul-crushing Nebraska basketball moments.
Exactly. You come into the week and you're like, okay, Nebraska's finally ranked. They got two legit opponents.
And Nebraska's good.
It's the most Nebraska ball thing to do, to go ahead and just lose both those games and drop out of the rankings. If you're just looking at the last century of Nebraska basketball, that's what should
you're
happen.
Just looking at the history bullet points of Nebraska basketball.
That's what
this is what the playbook says.
That's what'll happen. That's what'll happen. You don't want it to happen, but that is likely, right? I mean, that's just what it feels like. That's what it feels like. But we'll see. That's why they play the game.
Here's the thing. This year feels different. It's supposed to feel different. Why? Because you are as loaded from a talent standpoint as you've ever been. I mean, you go back to the Danny Nee golden era of mid-90s when you've got the Stricklands and the Lews and the Badgetts and the Boones. And, I mean, it was a setup for this year with Nebraska basketball, with the experience, the confidence, the talent, the hunger, because you missed last year.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not rebuilding or rebooting.
You're just
trekking forward based off of a season ago. And Minnesota, I mean, here's the biggest like head scratcher is in this stretch of non-conference that kicked off with Seton Hall, and then you had Texas Tech, you take steps forward after that disappointing Tech ball game, because you go out to Clemson and you gut out a win, and you could have won that thing by 10 or so, and you hang on dearly. You almost piss it away, but you hang on dearly. You make enough plays to win, and you're like, all good. Okay, you learn from Tech. You beat Clemson on the road. You got your signature non-con, here you go committee, early season show of impressiveness, okay? And then you're trucking along, you're doing your thing, and here comes Minnesota. After you do a really good job of just distancing yourself against the Illini, big win on Sunday. And you're up. I mean, you're up 13, you're playing with the lead. Dude, you're starting cruising. Out the first half and the second half of that game. And you're on all cylinders, man. Your game plan's tight. It's good. You're hitting some threes early. You're getting good shots. You're getting to the rim.
Yeah, you got scoring threats all over the floor.
And then all of a sudden, 27-10, bang. Yeah. That's how things finish.
I can't think – now, if I'm going to be all jokes aside about it's the most Nebraska ball thing to do and all that, look, Amir Coffey played out of his mind.
He did.
You know, and that's a – and he's a tough matchup because he's a giant guard.
Yeah, he's big. He's 6'8", and he's just a beast.
Giant guard who was really aggressive that night.
Sure.
Sometimes that happens. That dude was on a roll. I don't think it's anything Nebraska didn't do as much as it is that guy was just playing great.
I'm going to disagree a smidge with you.
Okay.
And it wasn't even as much as, and Tim Miles talked about it yesterday, he second-guessed himself, and good for him having some self-inventory on what he could have done better, and it wasn't, you know, you guys should have done X, Y, and Z. He took the brunt of it. The problem I have is, and it comes up in moments like today, when it comes, coaching decisions will help make a determination in what happens at 5 o'clock, okay? And he was just a bit unsure. He was worried about foul trouble, which I get, because Cope had three. Roby ended up fouling out. Both those guys ended up fouling out. So if you're asking Palmer to check Amir Coffey, and you're also asking Palmer to lead your team in scoring, or at least be a number two, right, in scoring, that's a lot of energy for that guy. And Coffey won the day against Palmer. Palmer didn't shoot well. Palmer didn't defend well.
Something's been off with him.
Well, he's pressing, okay? Yeah. I mean, he wants to go to the next level, and he's hell-bent on getting better at three-point shooting. And the thing that kills this team is when they're up, they decide to settle. Now, they're not going into a shell and being tentative on offense, but they're not making these smart offensive plays a lot of times. Our rewind coming up in 15 minutes is Jake Mielheisen.
Yeah.
So we'll get
he'll break it down.
Yeah, he'll break it down. But the problem that really hurt Nebraska against Minnesota was they'd take a bad shot or wouldn't hit or wouldn't get to the rim or try and get to the free throw line. And Minnesota'd get it, and they'd get their points in transition, or if they didn't score in transition, they'd get fouled going to the rim. That's what was the catalyst with allowing 80 points for the first time in forever. It was just the offense that ended up seeping in negatively to the defense because of shot selection. And that's just something that you have Nebraska fans uneasy about. Is the defense going to be able to carry this team moving forward? They've looked good the majority of the year. Offensively, if the team can't get out in transition, do they have enough shooters, right, to be good and consistent enough from three-point land? There's still a work in progress there. But it just comes down to decision-making, which can be frustrating with a seem-to-be-veteran team, right? They're a veteran team, the core four. They've been together for years. And are you taking the best shots when you're up? That was the case against Tech where they settled. Tech was really good, too. And then, again, it came back against Minnesota. What you have right now is a very nervous Nebraska fan base, and you have this lack of buy-in by the fan base of, okay, is this the right coach? Is this the team that's going to finally end our suffering and help win an NCAA tournament game? Can he get back to the tournament? You've got all of those thoughts floating around in Nebraska basketball fans' heads, and that is magnified by a billion when Creighton comes to town based off this Minnesota loss.
there's a lot there, right? And this game, there's so much paradox in it, too, because, you know, you just mentioned it. Who likes Nebraska in a half-court game, right? Like, not – that's not
– that is choice F on a multiple
you know
choice.
What? Against Creighton, with your depth versus their depth, you kind of need to make it a half-court game. You kind of need to make it a grinder.
I don't like that.
No, you don't. But
I don't like Nebraska in a grinder game.
You
don't want track meet?
Oh, God. With Creighton, no. Creighton, no. You don't. Seriously, with their depth and with their offensive style.
The look of concern is real and spectacular on the face of Mark Kranak when you go up tempo here.
Look, if Nebraska had more depth, different story. You'd say yes. But Nebraska is so reliant on their frontline guys for their scoring. Big time. And this one thing that jumps out to you about Nebraska, too, when Nebraska was playing well against Minnesota, I can't remember the last time where I looked on the floor and was like, competent scorer, competent scorer, competent scorer. There's five of them on the floor.
Yes.
Especially with Tom Allen starting to emerge
a
little
Thomas
bit.
I like Thomas Allen a lot.
Right? See, you got Allen, you got Watson, you got Palmer, you got Roby, you got Copeland. All those guys are threats on the offensive end. But then behind them, coming off the bench, you're getting a little bit from Nana. A little bit from Nana. Brady Hyman's surprising a little bit.
That was a great game for him.
But there's a pretty big
He's going to be really good.
There's a pretty big drop-off, though.
Yeah, you have seven dudes.
Now,
eight with Borchardt.
I would compare Creighton offensively in basketball to sort of how Nebraska football likes to do offense.
Sure. Fun and gun, roll it.
Pressure. Pressure. Just pressure, pressure, pressure. They are just... They're coming at you deliberately all the time. The big play is just a second away at all times.
And they're very, very skilled. Yeah. They catch, shoot three. They take good threes.
They're second in the country in field goal percentage, or in three-point percentage.
They're that good.
Second in the country. And this is after they've played Gonzaga, Ohio State.
Coulda, shoulda, right? Gonzaga?
You know, number one team in the – I mean, come on. So – Look, and this was supposed to be like a rebuilding year for Creighton with you know, losing Foster, losing Kyrie Thomas. But no, man, the way they come at you, Nebraska has to slow it down. So that kind of scares you, right? So that's what I'm talking about with paradox. You got one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country against one of the best three-point defending teams in the country. Mm-hmm. You have a team that likes to get out and run. Nebraska likes to lean that way.
That's their strength.
I mean, they like to lean that way. They're not fun and gun or anything, but they like to lean that way versus
their offense is better in transition. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot there. Nebraska's got a pretty good size advantage on really a lot of teams, but in the backcourt, it's an interesting game. And the thing that scares you the most is the great equalizer of the three-pointer. Creighton's going to hit those, man. Like, it's going to happen. So, and Nebraska hasn't been hitting threes really well. So how do you counter that? You probably need to get to the line.
Mm-hmm.
Palmer, I don't have the count, but it feels like he's been called for charges more.
Oh, man, I would say 50% of his foul calls or more have been charges.
Right. Which makes him a little... What's his game? His game is
drive
is slashing
and get fouled or get to the 10.
Get to the line. I feel like... He's a little more gun shy this year. Something just off with him offensively, and I think that's part of it. Is he's not as aggressive going to the hole because he keeps getting called for charges. I don't know, but that's got to change. That's got to change today. The crowd is going to be ridiculous. Obviously,
it's going to be a dare I say hostile environment. And how many times can you say that about Nebraska sporting venues?
Yeah, no, it will be. It will
That'll be kind of cool to see.
But Creighton will apply pressure on you throughout the game when they have the ball. They want the pace. They want tempo. It's like Nebraska football on offense. It really is. Like, they're just going to keep coming at you. So can you handle that? Can you? And then because they do that, there are so many more opportunities to foul.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Nebraska's kind of foul prone.
Yeah.
Some of their guys, right?
Well, Roby.
Roby is. Palmer. Palmer's had a little trouble, right? He's gotten in foul trouble early. So say that happens. Eesh.
Knockout shot.
Eek. You know? I mean, it's tenuous. So big paradoxical game. I just can't imagine Nebraska wanting to match the pace of Creighton. Creighton's one of the best at it in the country at playing that style. You don't want to let them play their style.
This game does not win you a spot in the NCAA tournament, nor does this game eliminate you from the NCAA tournament.
Great for the resume, though.
No, it is a resume booster for sure. You've got 16 more games in the Big Ten. Andy Katz is on record that 10 will get in from the Big Ten this year. That's how impressed he is. And the discussion point was more about Minnesota, what they did Wednesday night when you're looking at the Big Ten crew versus crushing Nebraska for losing a 12-13 point lead. You had game control for damn near 32 minutes of the 40.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. So
that's where depth starts to come in, though.
No, Nebraska has shown the ability, at least when you go from Tech to Clemson, to correct and take a step back forward after some adversity. The thing that'll be the edge today is going to be the energy. You can talk about Nebraska being a much better team on the road the last year and a half. We'll say this year's not even a half a year, year and a fourth, okay. Nebraska had a lot of impressive road wins last year. This group, they have won. They have closed out games. Mm-hmm. They found ways to win. They've done it already, and they did it last year, and they weren't rewarded for it. To misstep like they did against Minnesota, it can either be a lesson that they take with them the rest of the year, or it can start a little bit of doubt creeping in, and a whole lot of doubt moves in, not only from the fan base, but this team, if they don't beat Creighton.
It could be, yeah. You don't want to oversell it, but it's...
I'm not overselling.
It could be devastating, though.
Well, Creighton,
it really would.
Creighton knocked out Nebraska in the 14-15 season, the Pettaway follow to the NCAA, and then you lose to Incarnate Word, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Creighton has derailed a season before just 4 years ago.
Yeah, no, it could be devastating. Because you should...
And it stinks that
you have to win this one.
And it stinks the fan base is so volatile right now. And I understand them. I get it. They want it so bad.
I don't fault Nebraska basketball fan for absolutely anything. With the crap they've had to endure forever. Nebraska fans aren't the problem. The problem is you got your dudes. You got dudes.
Go play and go win.
Yeah. Win the game. Like, win basketball games. Do that. Against good teams. Please do that. Against your rival from up the... By the way, it's really funny. Living in Omaha and being from Omaha...
Yeah, what's your week been like versus, with this game?
Versus living in Lincoln. Like, Creighton might as well be in Papua New Guinea. Like, the amount of Creighton fans in Lincoln is just... nil. it's remarkable to me. And the whole J-Skers thing, that's fun. I get it. But it's also like, it's totally overblown. It's like, settle down.
Who cares?
Like, yeah. Right. Like, who cares? It's an exciting basketball team in your hometown. Like, you can go ahead and watch them and not feel some sort of guilt or whatever for doing that. But, Creighton is an established, they have an established identity offensively. Mm-hmm. They don't deviate from it.
They have developed talent.
Yeah, they are super, super aggressive offensively. They are just going to light it up early on. They do the Steph Curry type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
They've been doing it.
Yeah, quick outlet. Dude pulls up in a one-on-two situation from the wing and just chucks a three with nobody there to rebound, and it's fine. Like, that's okay. They're all right with doing that. They are just going to apply pressure the whole time. And you sense their confidence to some degree. They're not coming in.
It's Michigan, Ohio State. Yeah, you just know that you're in their head.
Yeah. They are.
Here is Tim Miles, cut 10 here, Colton, about the venom that was alive and well on social media after the Minnesota loss. And Coach Miles has a great response to this and perspective, and he gets it. He understands where the Nebraska fan base is coming from.
Listen, if the fan base is happy because we played tough at Minnesota, we got the wrong fans. You know, we don't need to, they need to be saying, this bum, what's he doing? Why are we still stuck with him? And when a coach is there long enough, it really does become what you can't do or don't do as opposed to who you are and what you do well. And that goes with the territory. So if there's a grumble, this, that, and the other thing, yeah, I'm glad they are because it means they care. I'm not happy either. Guess who else is grumbling? Kerry Johnson back at the house. Why aren't you calling time out? Like, I'm getting the business from the dog. And so you should get that. You know what I mean? And so I think it's great, and I want to be great. And, I mean, so many people, I mean, I had guys printing golf balls about it, handing me golf ball, you know, like, yeah, I don't need that, but I get it. You know, I mean, and they care, and that's what matters most. And that's what's great about our Husker fans, and I want to come through for them.
Great take. He gets it.
Yeah, great. Now
go do it.
Now how do you neutralize one of the best, most talented offensive attacks that you're going to look in Nebraska's
Nebraska,
good defensively.
Nebraska is great defensively, Krainak. Totally. They are money from three-point defense.
Yeah. What I worry about, and if, you know, of course, any basketball team worth their salt is in great shape. Duh.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But Creighton will wear you out, man. They will. And when you're not that deep, like Nebraska, those guys are going to have to expend ridiculous amounts of energy today. It would be probably a top 3 to 5 energy game for them for the year. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you are going to be running you are getting after it. So can you do that for 2.5 hours without, you know?
let's throw out the physical energy, the mental strain on this game. Is also draining.
The thing I've liked about Nebraska so far is I don't see signs of what's the right word? They don't seem that mentally fragile.
No, they're pretty strong.
Yeah. Well, but at the same time, they don't put it this way. I don't see them crumbling under pressure. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen them finger pointing and getting mad and frustrated and just sort of. But I wouldn't call them super strong either. I'm just glad that they're middle of the road.
I would lean strong just based on what they've shown me already this year. You mess up against Tech and you come back against Clemson. That's a statement to me.
They have a fairly steady approach, I think you could say, right now, which is
well,
good.
They're seniors, but they're upperclassmen. I mean, they've been through everything and anything.
But you're gonna
they've seen it all.
Your wind is going to be tested today, for sure. Unless Nebraska can figure out somehow to make it a half-court game, Creighton's not nearly as good if you make them slow down their pace and their tempo and you make them go half-court. But then that also, the same affliction that Nebraska's had, regardless of coach, God, in forever, Nebraska's half-court offense is always just like, throw it around until someone drives and shoots.
One.
Right? Like, there just never seems to be that sense of purpose. You never see the ball.
You know,
zip
the identity on defense. You still have no clue what it is offensively.
Yeah, and you didn't know it was Sadler. Did a little bit with the wannabe Princeton with Collier.
Right.
You didn't know it with Danny Knee. Like, Nebraska
Danny's identity was, I've got 3 NBA players, you have 2. Let's get a screen for Strick.
I know, but you didn't.
Let's get the ball to Pike, all right? I mean,
but you'll see the difference
it worked.
Today. You'll see the difference today when you see Creighton with
their
defined offensive identity. You'll see the passes are more crisp, they're faster, they're more deliberate, I always point to Kansas as like the program when it comes to that. And that's been regardless of coach too, with Roy Williams and Bill Self. Kansas under either of those teams
have had dudes.
Well, but in particular, they're deliberate with their ball movement. Mm-hmm. And that thing just zips around before, you know, and defensively you just end up kind of, you're just on your heels because you're like, where's this thing go? And, you know, zips around. They have an offensive identity. They know what they want to do. You don't get that sense with Nebraska, and you haven't forever. So if Nebraska wants to make it a half-court game to neutralize Creighton because they can't afford to run because they're not as deep, can their half-court offense execute better than Creighton's? It scares me, so that means you better get to the line.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that without getting in foul trouble?
Here's what it comes down to, and this is just stupid basketball guy take right here for me.
Yeah.
Make your freaking shots on offense so they can't get out in transition and get their pace going.
They're not a great rebounding team either, Creighton. They're not. You know, so
Where Nebraska's wilted is in the paint. Yeah. Tech beat the hell out of them. Minnesota got to the rim or the line. And from a matchup standpoint, Creighton doesn't strike me as somebody that has some dudes that'll get it rocking.
They'll roll in three guys. Again, going back to depth, mm-hmm. none of them are world beaters. They're okay, though. Mm-hmm. Crumple's pretty good. Epperson's okay. They'll roll those guys in, though, all game. You'll have fresh legs there the whole time.
You have a good line of rotation.
Yeah, you'll have screen and roll the whole time, mm-hmm. right? And they can get some garbage points.
One thing Nebraska has this year is a little bit better screen and roll defense. I know that wasn't apparent against Minnesota, but Nebraska has some mobility.
Yeah.
Options compared
Absolutely.
To a year ago. It's Mark Cranack, Chris Schmidt, Colton
Stone.
Did we
just spend a whole segment on basketball? A couple of 5'8" crackers trying to talk hoops and never played.
I'm 5'9¾", just so you know.
5'8".
You can play basketball at Madonna Proactive. They got a gorgeous basketball facility. Can get in that shape you need when it comes to cardio. Why wait till January to make that New Year's resolution? Make your resolution for better health today. Do so with Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. Sign up in December, pay no initiation fee, and get January for free with an annual contract. Give them a ring, 402-420-0000, madonnaproactive.org. I mentioned the basketball court they got there that is phenomenal. They have strength training. They have cardio. They have the Aqua Track, just an awesome indoor pool that has a current that can just kick your butt in a good way. The indoor pool is phenomenal. The walking track upstairs. And then how about it? If you're a class person, you like doing your workouts in a class, your yoga, your kickboxing, your TRX, that and many more. Over 130 classes offered as part of your membership. Get signed up today. Better health is the goal. And make that New Year's resolution a reality for better health with Madonna Proactive. Get signed up. You won't pay for January. No initiation. Madonna Proactive. Schedule a visit today, 56th in Pine Lake Road. More Nebraska Creighton and a standout Husker. We love talking to him. Our conversation, the rewind with Jake Mielheisen next. Welcome to Saturday. It's Hail Varsity Weekend presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Cranack.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Welcome in with Husker Basketball, the pride of Lincoln Southeast, Jake Mielheisen. Jake, brother, how much Tylenol did you fire up this morning, man? What a tough, tough ball game in Minnesota.
Yeah, a lot of Tylenol today and a lot of coffee from the late night. But, you know, when you're on the road, it's always fun coming back on the plane after a win, and we had a chance to win, just unable to get it done. But people gotta realize it's really hard to win on the road, let alone win a road conference game.
Let me ask you that, because you're on social media at Jake Mule on Twitter. You see the all or nothing that's out there with the Nebraska basketball program from the fans. It's a fire exit when it comes to a loss, and it's standing room only after a Clemson win. What's your take on that?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy to me, but I think it's the nature or the whatever you want to call the history of Nebraska basketball. And you know, we have such diehard fans that people have lived through, you know, some tough losses, some long seasons, some good seasons, and the hype and the potential of this year's team has kind of added to that. So they expect, you know, to win when we're up 9 with 7:30 to play. But you got to keep in mind that this is still a really good ball club. And it doesn't matter if you're playing, UNO on the road or whomever, it's hard to win a college basketball game on the road, let alone a Big Ten conference road game. When they're amped up, they have some motivation with McBriar's situation. And they played well. You got to give some credit to Minnesota, but people need to stay on the bandwagon because we're going to win a lot of games this year.
Jake Mielheisen with us, part of Nebraska Basketball, Hail Varsity Radio. What happened the final 8 minutes? You were courtside.
Yeah, I would say, well, we weren't courtside. We were, I could basically touch the roof of the barn.
Okay,
we
so you needed oxygen. My fault.
Yeah, so we took some altitude sickness medication for sure, but I would say the last 8 minutes, I think Minnesota played more aggressive and played tougher than we did. And then a lot of our offensive possessions weren't as good as they were earlier in the game. And we shot some three-pointers that were ill-advised and turned the ball over a couple times. But when we were missing those shots, that just keyed Minnesota's transition. And they were able to get out in the break. And you saw what Demir Coffey did to us. He's tough, especially in transition mode. So that, I think that was the key to the final 8 minutes and why we lost the game.
Jake, you had to feel good about Nebraska's start to the game, Nebraska's start to the second half. They had them down 13. The ball was moving. There were some really clean, good kick out in rhythm threes in the paint. Cope did well. Roby got off. I mean, he had his best game of the year. And that was with a absent James Palmer in the second half. He was the one guy that wasn't in foul trouble. I'll say the mother of all flop call where he got the offensive call might have spooked him a little bit, but James didn't have a great second half, but you still had you had four guys in double figures, almost a fifth, and then you had Brady's point total off the bench. I mean, it looked like you look at the box score aside from the final score, Nebraska's going to win that game a lot.
Oh, for sure. And I think we had a lot of guys play well. You mentioned Roby, and I think Cope played really well, and then he got in foul trouble. So that hurt our rhythm early on in the game. Then you have guys like Brady Hyman kind of come off the bench and play really well. So we had some guys play good. I just think that was our worst game defensively thus far this season. That's kind of a duh statement because that was the first time anybody shot over 50%, I read in 35 games. But we just let us not scoring impact our defense. And once again, when we were missing shots, that just allowed Minnesota to get out in transition. I thought our half-court defense was pretty solid for the most part. When we kind of got the game slowed down and got the break stopped for Minnesota, I thought we played pretty good defensively. But James Palmer, he's got to do a better job when he's not scoring the ball. He can be a really good defender when he wants to be, but he kind of let his offensive performance last night impact how hard he played on defense.
I think part of the frustration with Nebraska fans is you see a step forward with a win at Clemson, gutsy win, down to the wire ball game, and then the finish, and then you're ready to put Minnesota to sleep, right? And you're up 13, and it's where it's at in the ball game, and you have balance on offense. Your top guy isn't doing it offensively, but it hasn't mattered. And then to fall, I think that's the frustration. It feels like a step back. What's your take? Is Minnesota a tournament team? Andy Katz went on record last night on BTN saying, look, this is a 10-bid league. Which, does that include Minnesota in your eyes right now?
I think after watching them and what they've done prior to playing Nebraska in the non-con, I think they definitely can be. You know, you saw them go on the road and get something pretty good at Ohio State, but you know, it's like I said, it's hard to win on the road. So when you go on the road, you got to take advantage of those opportunities. I think last night in Nebraska, there were some key plays that if they go our way, you know, we may have won by 15 or 20. You look at, like you mentioned earlier, the charge call that James Palmer had. He makes the basket go into his left. Could have been an and one to us to go up 16.
Yep.
And instead, turnover, we're up 13. Minnesota scores four straight. We're up 9. So that's a big kind of event. You had Copeland's technical foul. You have a couple of steals that we got that we just couldn't pick up, that we saved coming flying out of bounds. And instead of one of our guys getting our hands on it, it goes right to Minnesota and they get an easy layup. So there were some plays in there that if we could have got those going our way, we could have won by 12, 14, 16 points. So there were some plays in there that just added up. But I think Minnesota's a good team. They got some guys coming off the bench that are decent. They just need to shoot the ball a little better, and they'll win some games.
Nebraska got bloodied against Tech, and that's kind of the baseline point of reference when I preface a toughness question. Do you worry about Nebraska's toughness in the paint moving forward in the Big Ten?
I do a little bit, and I would say I did a lot more after the Tech game. But I think you watch the Clemson game, you watch the Illinois game, and our guys showed a lot of fight, a lot of toughness. And we were the more physical team in those two games. And for whatever reason, we let that slip away from us against Minnesota. And I thought we took a page from Texas Tech's playbook those prior two games and really tied physical and played the more aggressive plays and did a better job of being the aggressor. And last night, for whatever reason, whether it be on the road, the crowd, or whatever it may be, we just weren't the more tough, more physical, more aggressive team.
Jake, you mentioned how tough it is to win on the road, and there's no arguing that, but what is it with this team where they get so complacent and settle for so many shots on the offensive end when they have a healthy lead? They seem to take their foot off the pedal. What is it? Is it something in the mindset, the coaching? What turns them to not keep the pressure on?
Yeah, that's tough. We need to do a better job or you know, when we have them down 13 or 11, keeping the foot on the gas and then really just, you know, stomping on the throat and putting them away. I think there were some sets that we ran in the second half that were really good sets. We had some opportunities, just some guys that weren't in the right spots. There was one play I watched on tape that was, I think there was about 7 minutes left. We ran one of our normal sets and had Glenn Watson on the left wing getting a non-ball coming towards the middle. And James Palmer was supposed to be up tight on the three-point line, but he was about 8 feet off. So his guy was sagging in the lane, clogging things up, didn't have to guard him. So just little things like that, we got to be more crisp on and execution. But we just got to – it comes down to making shots, too. There were some wide-open threes and some layups that we missed, some free throws that we missed, that if you just make those ones that are easier shots, those go a long way when on the road.
Jake Muehlheisen, couple minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio, part of Husker Basketball. Jake Muehl on Twitter is where you follow him. You hear him with Kent Pavelka. Okay, it's Creighton on Saturday. It's going to be – crazy down at PBA. Can't wait for it. Wondering your thoughts. You've lived it. You're a Nebraska kid that played against Creighton, and you know what this rivalry is. Can you put into words what Nebraska-Creighton is? Part two to that, how big is Saturday for this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an awesome rivalry for the state. I think it's better for both teams, both fan bases, if they're both playing at a high level. I was hoping that both teams would be ranked coming into this. I was, you know, you watched the first couple games by Creighton, and you thought they were down, but they found something that's working. But just the rivalry is awesome, playing in it. The fans get excited, and me being a Lincoln kid, you know, I knew about it prior to going to Nebraska. But some of the kids, the players coming from out state, from West Coast, East Coast, they may not be quite in tune. But once they get into that game, they'll get what it's about. But the atmosphere on Saturday is going to be awesome. I hope all the Husker fans here in town keep their tickets and make sure if they give their tickets away, they're giving them to somebody that's wearing a head, and making sure that the Creighton fans don't get into PBA, because it'll be an awesome atmosphere. This will be Creighton's first true road game, so we need all the fans there. Get down to the Haymarket and Rail Yard, get hydrated, and get ready to roll.
The rumor is if you wear blue, your beer is $9.50 down in the Rail Yard. And hey, I'm kidding.
I think that would be awesome if they did that.
They'd pay
it. They should totally do that.
They'd pay it. Jake Muehlheisen with us, Hail Varsity Radio, part of Husker Basketball, at Jake Muehl on Twitter. Okay, the magnitude of Saturday. I mean, is this a watershed ball game, or is it just another ball game?
No, I think it's a big game. I think it's. I think when this schedule came out and this, you know, we had some guys come back this year, this game was circled by Nebraska, not only the players, the coaches, but the fans as well. Because, you know, call a spade, we haven't beat Creighton in I think the last seven years. So it's our turn. It's our turn to win this ball game. And I think after last night's loss, this game, you know, give Nebraska another chance to get a big statement win, and it could just catapult them moving forward and give them some more confidence going into the game against Oklahoma State, finishing non-con and going and playing conference. I think it's a big game for Nebraska, and I know they want to beat Creighton. I know I do, so I'm looking forward to them playing well, and can't wait till Saturday.
This five-game stretch we've talked about, what's an acceptable record? 4-1?
I think so. I think so. I kind of pegged us at 4-1, you know, starting with Illinois. I thought we could win on the road in Minnesota. We had the game, and then, you know, we can win it. We just got to protect our home court and have it under control game against Okie State. We can win that one, too. So I think 4-1 would be good, and we go, if we, assuming we win our next two games, then we'll go and we finish non-con out strong. We go into the conference play with two losses and towards the top of the Big Ten.
Good enough. Jake, we'll catch up with you. Thanks for the time today.
Yep, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick, Colton Stone, lots of Nebraska Creighton this hour. We'll get into some football with Brandon Vogel in 10 minutes.
I'm starting to shake.
Robinson has said yes to Nebraska, you know that, this week. We'll get Vogel's take on it. We'll talk with the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp.
Why do our 14 listeners tune in?
For football.
Yeah.
Well, but this is kind of big.
It is.
And it's nice to have a little crossover season where football and basketball people are both interested in.
It is.
I mean, it doesn't happen all that often. Yeah. Hopefully it's more common. Yeah. Vogues will chime in also on Nebraska's volleyball domination as Kentucky goes down. Take that, Kentucky, two in a row this week.
Well, and then how about Minnesota losing?
That was awesome.
And so that changes things. Mm-hmm. Nebraska's got sort of an upstart, nothing to lose. Oregon
that they've already beat.
Yeah, early in the year. First game, wasn't it? I mean, it was really early.
Like that, yeah.
Opening weekend or something. But that changes things, obviously.
Well, and Nebraska can't volleyball. Look at me put my volleyball hat on here for a second.
Yeah.
So Nebraska can't be overconfident.
With them boys.
And you know, Oregon, probably spent thousands of calories last night trying to take down number two in the country in their own bar.
They worked them, though.
They crushed them.
Where one of the games got up to 40?
41-39. It's a bad two-point conversion call.
Yeah.
You know, didn't happen. So Nebraska, Oregon to get to the Final Four. Reminding you to buckle up. Something's got to stop that motion. And airbags aren't enough. You want the seatbelt or the windshield to stop your forward momentum. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Great to have you in on a Saturday. Colton Stone is going John Wayne here. He's toughing it out with whatever he's ailing him. You stay right over there, Colton. Mark Kranick, Chris Schmidt, Hour 2 coming up with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranick.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down, and that foot is me.
Hour 2, Weekend Edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick, Colton Stone. And give us a follow on Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at Mark Skurz, at 2Birds1Stone. And as always, follow Hail Varsity's social channels for what you need with football, basketball, volleyball. And we say hi to Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com, and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, you are going to make your first appearance as a observer, not worker, in PBA today for Nebraska Creighton. Are you, is the face paint on, is what I'm going to ask?
Not yet. It's a little early, but you can't wait too long either. You know, you got to get a good base coat. And if you really want it to last, you got to go over the top of that. So here in about another hour, an hour and a half, we'll probably get started.
I like it. You got to be fired up, man. It's good to spend some time with you this morning. Let's go football before we do basketball, before we do volleyball. And Wandale Robinson flipping from Kentucky to Nebraska. Greg Smith did just a great Q&A with Wandale. You can read that at HailVarsity.com. Is this something that caught you off guard, or were you quietly confident that Nebraska was going to be able to do this?
Well, it always seemed like Nebraska was where the kid wanted to be. And as we often see in recruiting, that's not always the last word, though I think most people would say it should be. And thanks to Greg Smith, I felt like I had a pretty good idea that of how things were going. It started to look even a little more promising for Nebraska over the past, 2 weeks or so as Ryan Hill continued to make his pitch. And what a job he's done in a short time at Nebraska on the recruiting front and the coaching front. So by the time it finally happened, I think I and a lot of people affiliated with Nebraska were expecting Wandale to flip, and he did. It's a huge get. It's the type of player that they covet in this offense, and I think you'll see big things from him.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. So they pull Wandale out of Kentucky, and you look at Nebraska's commitment list. They've always recruited nationally. Nebraska has. But don't you see this as almost – it's almost like in hyperdrive now with – I think there's something like 14 states or something like that Nebraska's been pulling players from this so far for this recruiting calendar. Is there any other team in the country that's quite like that? Nebraska does not seem to have any sort of regional bias at all.
No, they don't. I mean, the only one, based on research I did like a couple of years ago, so I mean, things may have changed slightly, but you're looking at a program like Stanford that has to recruit nationally, essentially, to find the players they get. And they're going in much, they typically sign smaller classes for Nebraska, which is looking to push its numbers up towards 30 if it can in this class. This one will be unique. And I think, you mentioned Nebraska's always had to do it that way. I think what might be a little bit different this time is you have an offense that sort of comes with its built-in appeal. The option was awesome and great, and it worked really, really well. But what was kind of the knock against it, particularly as you got later on in Nebraska's option era, was that, modern players don't want to play in the option. This is an offense the players want to play in. It's kind of the modern concepts, but still on the cutting edge and in hyperdrive. So it has a lot of appeal in that regard. And I think that's probably helped Nebraska, particularly in the South. You mentioned Kentucky, got a kid from Tennessee. They've got some Georgia kids, got a quarterback from Alabama in the 2021 class. So they're making some hay down there in the most competitive area, which I think is really different.
What do you think it is about the offense? Because if you look at it from a really basic standpoint, a lot of teams are running spread. A lot of teams are running tempo. What is it in particular about Nebraska's that makes it so appealing?
I think there's a little bit of the numbers that they've been able to put up. I mean, kids will pay attention to yards when you point it out to them, but I think point totals are kind of impossible to ignore. And Nebraska didn't even, get that high that often this year, but they got high enough that I think you can see what's possible in the future. So I think that's part of it. They've had a lot of success with the running back room. I think how they use players, the fact that a receiver can get some carries, but even more likely a running back's going to be on the field a lot and get some receptions probably helps. And then, I think aside from that, once you get them on campus and they get to experience a little bit of the program culture and how much fun people are having and how much the coaches care for the players, probably is the cherry on top for a lot of those guys who may be drawn in by just sort of the offensive numbers they're putting up.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Look, I want to go back to that family take. People preach it all the time. Nebraska lives it, and I think they make that connection very real when they get into a living room. Let's just look at what you have here with kind of Frost and his reputation and the demo you're dealing with. You're dealing with 16 to 18-year-olds, right? And they see Shaquem Griffin in Central Florida's story. They see Mackenzie Milton. They see what happened a year ago. That's fresh. They see what Adrian Martinez is doing. Maurice Washington. You look at Frost's time at Oregon with Mariota. I mean, none of that's forgotten. I know Nebraska football's not been on top of the mountaintop for a long time, but you've got a guy now in charge with his staff that have some real points of light here of, you know, relevancy and recency in college football the last 7 to 10 years. I think that's meshing well with the prospects that they're going after. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, I think in a perfect world, you know, all coaches would really love and care for their guys, and I think most do. If they don't, they probably don't end up being a coach very long in this era, especially. But I think the key thing with that, and you noticed it with the UCF guys, you know, towards the end of that second year, is so much of that is probably conveyed to a recruit through their peers. So, you know, the coach is going to say everything, of course, like, you know, we're committed to you, we're going to take care of you, da 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 da. But when you show up and the players are having fun and it seems like they like being there, I think that's a really powerful recruiting tool. And, you know, I assume that's happening at Nebraska now after just a year. And I assume it'll be even to a greater degree as we go on in this current Scott Frost era.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Nebraska gets a commitment from a very experienced kind of stud at the nose position, grad transfer Darian Daniels, who's been playing at Oklahoma State. He's going to come in. He's been starting there for a while, brother of Damian Daniels. I don't want to oversell this, I guess, but
it's big.
I mean, I think it is monstrously huge for this defense, and here's why, and I want to see if you agree. Look, Nebraska's had to play guys at the nose who aren't natural 3-4 noses. They're just not. Stoltenberg, for as injured as he was and everything else, he's not a natural nose. Maybe in a 4 front he is, but in a 3 front, I don't know. The Davis twins, not really. You look at the Iowa game, Damian Daniels played maybe 7 or 8 snaps, but when he did, dude, Iowa sputtered. They could not get anything done because he was
a difference maker.
He was that force on the inside. Now you have a guy who's shown the ability to play a lot of snaps. Damian Daniels' older brother can maybe whip him into shape a little bit too, right? You'll get that. You're going to have two true nose players on the inside, and I don't know, man. I think that is a major upgrade for this defense, and I mean, you could see some legitimate statistical climbs if those two are able to kind of just rotate and play that spot next year. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you're on the right track. You know, Damian is the sort of nose tackle of the future. Like, I think he's going to be really good eventually. So just look at if they'd done this with someone who wasn't his brother, right? Yeah, we're bringing in a grad transfer. He's going to take some of your snaps. Hope you're cool with that. We still believe in you, and you're going to come along. But when it's his brother, you know, there's this whole other level to you. Like, okay, cool. I'm going to get to play with my brother. We're going to go out there, and we're going to wreck shop, and he's going to go hard for 4 snaps, and I'm going to come in and go hard for 4 snaps. And, you know, and Darian, the interesting thing about him is, I think Oklahoma State took him to Big 12 media days. Yeah. He's one of those guys, you know. He started winning, you know, the team sportsmanship and leadership awards, I think, as soon as he got on campus. So seems to be a pretty good locker room and character guy as well. And when you look at, you know, Nebraska's got some veterans on the defensive line returning, and the Davis twins in particular, and Stilley. But to add another guy like that up front, I think gives you an extra bonus as well, aside from his ability as a player, which he comes in playing at a pretty high level.
You know, and for the uninitiated, in this kind of defense that Chenander runs with the 3-man front, a nose guard or a nose tackle does what for you when it's playing at a high level?
They can eat up multiple blocks on the front there. You know, if those guys are able to get handled by by one guy, it changes your numbers in terms of, particularly in defending the run. So, you know, it's kind of still a thankless position. You know, the elite guys can still make plays from that spot in this kind of defense. But really, you know, the base level you need, I think, to succeed is a nose tackle you don't notice. And Nebraska didn't get that at all times last year. You know, there were flashes from a variety of guys who could do it occasionally. But if you can get two guys that you can rotate that can at least do that, I think you're right, Mark. Like, that'll make a huge difference for this defense.
The two guys I think of at nose that made plays, and I'm still trying to find that guy in a 3-4, like Vince Wilfork, right?
Of course.
Right, and Casey Hampton, right, for
Gilbert.
Pittsburgh. Yeah, Gilbert
yeah.
Brown. But, I mean, there's three. There's yeah. three that
there's not a lot
that, that just, yeah, they'd have like four tackles, and that is the equivalent of 40.
Yeah.
Because there's
muck everything up.
There's three bodies
yeah.
on them at all times trying to move and turn them. Vogues, let's go to Nebraska basketball. And what happens today at PBA? Do you think Nebraska is ready for this challenge? Do you think they'll be right mentally going into this after Minnesota? Or is there some concern on your part that, yeah, Creighton's pretty good, so is Nebraska, and, you know, Creighton just may do things to Nebraska that have been done the last 7 years? How do you see Saturday shaking out?
Yeah, you know, I think the concerns coming in are sort of the big overarching concerns with Nebraska basketball, and nothing related to this particular opponent or game, at least for me. You know, Nebraska responded pretty well against Clemson, you know, after it had dropped a game to Texas Tech, and that's kind of all we have to go on so far this season, which is a good thing for the Huskers. So playing at home, it's going to be a raucous atmosphere. I think they'll be okay on that front. You know, I think this game, watch what happens on the three-point line. Of course, makes and misses, but also just how many threes is Creighton able to get off? You know, they average, I think, 42% of their attempts are three-point attempts, somewhere around there, and they're shooting above 42%. So that makes a lot of sense. But Nebraska's top five in the country in terms of limiting those. You know, teams aren't able to get those shots off. So that'll tell you a big part of it. And, you know, Derek Peterson, who does a great job with basketball, along with Jacob Padilla for us, you know, he mentioned in his Friday column that Nebraska's two losses have come when they've gotten into foul trouble inside. So that's another one. That's kind of an easy and early health check for any Nebraska basketball game at this point until we see something different. So Roby and Copeland can stay out of foul trouble early. I think Nebraska will be in pretty good shape.
You know, Nebraska's also going against today against Creighton. I liken Creighton's offense to Nebraska's football offense, right? Like they are coming at you, really defined identity, kind of always looking for the home run in the form of a three. There are so many opposites in this matchup, aren't there? Like, and I think that's what makes this thing the most fascinating is, you know, Nebraska doesn't want to get in a track meet with these guys, but at the same time, Nebraska in the half court offensively.
No, thank you.
For the past decade, it's just been like, no. So maybe what are some of the other, I guess, ways besides what you just outlined where, like, what type of game, whether it's scoring or you know, like what the score is at, what type of game benefits Nebraska the most today?
An ugly one, I think. You know, even though Nebraska does struggle with scoring in the half court on occasion, like, their best foot forward is defense. So I think you'd take good defense and hope you can figure out a way to end up more points at the end of the day on your home floor at a game where your fan base has been aching for this one all off season. I mean, you're right. I hadn't thought of it this way, but let it fly is just kind of which is Creighton's hashtag, is just kind of a different way to say no fear of failure. So it does set up this intriguing matchup of styles where, you know, Creighton kind of plays that way all the time. But in this one in particular, they can come in and play totally free. They have the confidence of having won a bunch of games in a row in this series. And they know as well as anybody else does that Nebraska loses this one, it's going to get really angsty in Lincoln pretty quick. So Nebraska's going to have to battle that too. And I think that's where you hope to lean on the home crowd a little bit and hope they can allow Nebraska to play as free as Creighton typically does.
What do you think is up with Palmer right now? He's not playing terrible, but something's off.
Yeah, you know, that Minnesota game was rough. He's a good enough player and has played enough good games in his career that you hope a rough one like that can kind of shake him out of it. He's very good, but these situations are tough where everyone kind of knows you're good. Nebraska has struggled over a long period of time to kind of handle the preseason accolades, to handle the expectations of being good. And James Palmer is kind of the face of that. So I have to wonder at least if that doesn't contribute at least a little bit to some of these ups and downs early in the year.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. He has authored with John Cook, Dream Like a Champion. That's in paperback now. It's a wonderful holiday gift idea when you want to get that Husker fan something this holiday season, along with the Hail Varsity subscription, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Get the digital and premium content, too, of HailVarsity.com, along with the magazine. It's incredible. Vogues, last thought here. Nebraska volleyball is going to get a familiar opponent. They get Oregon, not Minnesota. What are some advantages and what's a concern today as Nebraska and Coach Cook try to get back to the Final Four?
Yeah, I mean, the big advantage is not having to face Minnesota on their home floor, of course. Nebraska lost 3-1 twice to the Gophers this season, beat Oregon in Lincoln in those teams' early season matchup. So disadvantage, I think, is what Oregon did yesterday. They played really, really well. And for them to gut out a insane 41-39 win and then come back. So, you know, both teams are exhausted by that. And then you come out in the third set and kind of build a 10-point cushion and maintain it for most of that third match and put a stranglehold on things was really impressive. And, you know, Oregon's head coach, I think, correctly assessed Nebraska looking really impressive yesterday too. So the Huskers are playing really, really good volleyball. You got to be a little bit aware of Oregon's momentum, but I think the Ducks winning that match last night probably gave Nebraska even a little bit more confidence.
Well, and the last question I've got for you on this, it's one thing to take down Minnesota. That's impressive. That needs to be commended. You did it on their home floor. Can you honestly look someone in the eye and say, yeah, we'll take down Nebraska and Minnesota in consecutive games?
You can try. You know, it was the post-game tenor of Oregon's press conference was really interesting. Yeah, their coach was joking about, oh, yeah, I'm sure it'll be no problem to come down from this one. Like, we'll try to go to bed by midnight and probably won't. Like, it was a big, big win for the Ducks. And it's really hard to come back off of one of those. I mean, in at least one regard. You never know. It might be a momentum thing. Mm-hmm. It might be we did something nobody thought we were going to do, and we're good. So that's one where being Nebraska with their history in the tournament and all of their success helps you because they've been in these situations more often before.
Well, what's in the tank? I mean, that's the other side of it. Vogues, we'll see you down in the rail yard at the public market for a Real Red tip-off. Swing on by, get a frosty one, my friend, and look forward to seeing you a bit later.
Yeah, what's the record for that Papa Shot so far? Because I'm coming for it.
Ooh, yes, that's right. The Papa Shot is there. Mm. The batteries are included.
Okay.
And Danny Burke says he can hit 17 consecutive. Colton Stone scoffs at that. Colton's personal record for Papa Shot is 18. I have not gotten away from the counter. You know, I'm doing the show to shoot. My record for Papa Shot at Kemper Arena circa 92 with blasted Iowa State fans during the Big 8 tournament. I think I had 78 at one point.
There you go. I mean, that's what I expect, Schmitty. You show up in the postseason, chips are down, you come through. Pop that one, Ironman.
Well, that and the other guy I was shooting against was seeing three goals because he'd had too much Bud Heavy.
Yeah.
So, you know, Iowa State fan, God bless him. Vogues, will pop a shot. We'll get it filmed, and it'll be on record. You versus me.
All right.
All right, bud. Thanks. Take care. There he is.
I'm taking Vogel. I'm taking Vogel on that one. Yeah, he played in high school, I believe.
Well, he played in college.
Oh, yeah, you're done. You're done. Where'd he play?
Hastings.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not realize that about Brandon Vogel, that he played hoops.
Well, we can get him back on the horn and we can do this.
At Hastings. Now, and at the time when he played, Hastings, juggernaut. Right? I mean, they've had
Vogel's
some...
is just a shade... Wink, younger than us.
So he had to have been a point.
Yeah, he had the ball.
Oh, yeah, you're screwed, man.
This is shooting. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, be Scott Skiles and dish it out. He had to shoot, too.
Skiles, huh?
We're gonna put a...
Scott Skiles reference.
Sorry. I don't think of him as a shooter. I think of him as a distributor.
I think he might go Dennis Scott on you if we're going to stick with the magic theme.
Well, little Penny is going to come for that thunder.
That's Ty Banks, fool.
If Creighton's hashtag is let it fly for offense, what's Nebraska's offensive hashtag?
Oh God. Oh my God. What is that?
F it?
Yeah. Somebody shoot. What would their offensive hat? That's great.
We gotta ask Sharpie that. All right. The Iron Horse Gary
what
Sharp
their
is
offensive- don't the, charge?
Yeah. The hashtag for your friends at Sauter Heyman this holiday season, hashtag savings.
Please, for the love of God? Is that one?
A sale like this has never, ever happened at Sauter Heyman. Never before in the 113-year history of Sauter Heyman. Once-in-a-lifetime deals. At Sauter Heyman right now, the most prestigious jeweler in the area. You can now save 70% on quality jewelry. Never before savings. As mentioned, the total inventory liquidation sale going on. Do not wait for best selection. Go see Rick and the gang at Sauter Heyman today. 70% inventory liquidation. Do that math. And it's good for the South Point location and it's good for the Grand Island location only. And when you get there, get signed up. You can win a free $5,000 one-carat diamond pendant. That's some holiday cheer right there. Go see your friends at Sauter Heyman as the inventory liquidation sale continues. 70% off on quality jewelry. Your chance at a $5,000 one-carat diamond pendant. That is some bling. We'll talk Nebraska Creighton, Wandale Robinson, and some more Husker related items. The Iron Horse Gary Sharp next with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out. Excellent strategy, sir.
Thank you, Mr. McConaughey. Back with you at Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. We say hi to the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning from the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, yeah? Are you at Washington today?
No, I am. I'm actually going to be in an odd situation today because I will be watching the Oregon-Nebraska volleyball match from Eugene, Oregon.
Really?
Oh, okay. Oh, you're in Eugene.
I am in the home of the Ducks.
Really?
So it's nice and early there, man. Appreciate you being
up. Yeah, thanks for doing this, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, it's 6:30. Yeah.
Hey, you're doing a little wake and bake with us from from where it's legal. That's good.
Well, hey, you aren't. This is a sports show, but you aren't kidding.
Eugene, that's, man. We talked about paradoxes earlier. It's so weird. You have this athlete jock culture smack in the middle of we all live in teepees. Like, it is such a weird mix, isn't it?
Well, and for people that were out here last year for the Nebraska game, you realize that they play, you know, major college athletics where basketball is good, their Olympic sports are good, football is the premier sport, but yet the largest, you know, the football stadium is only 54,000 because people have other things to do. I was out with some football staff members last night, and they said, yeah, the Arizona State game, you know, which is pretty important for Oregon, start of the second half, the student section, like, all left. They have better things to do.
Yeah.
And it's Eugene is a tough place to get to, and there's not a lot of passion for sports. I mean, there's nobody that's walking around that has the passion that Phil Knight has for Oregon. But it's, you know what, I mean, they got great facilities. They're very, very good. Before I see Bull Bull play today for Oregon, watch a little Nebraska-Oregon volleyball on the big screen at Massey Knight Arena.
I like it.
Not sure if you're going to be in a position to hit a brewery while you're in Eugene. Are you going to be in a position to do that?
You know what? I have run into a couple of them.
Ninkasi?
Just because they were there.
Have you done Ninkasi?
I have not. Hot Valley. Okay. I have hit that one up.
Okay. Ninkasi, if you can. Highly recommended. Mm-hmm. Very good spot.
Okay. I got that on the list. I've been hanging out in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle and Portland, Eugene now for 4 days.
Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, the Sharpie World Tour commences. Sharpie, let's start with football, and we'll get to Nebraska-Creighton. Wandale Robinson, that happened. Why? How did Nebraska flip and get this commitment?
Because Nebraska knew the interest the kid had, and that they weren't going to take no for an answer. And, you know, there was a lot of stuff that was said, whether it be locally or in Kentucky, that, you know, was not true. And Nebraska got enough of a feeling from the kid that he was open to Nebraska. He wanted to come here. You know, they're trying to figure out why he said Kentucky originally. But Nebraska never wavered. I mean, they never said, oh, no, we're done. Once the kid continued to have communication, then Nebraska said, that's a guy that we identify as somebody that's a key component that can play well in our offense, and we're going to go get him. And kudos to Nebraska. Now, remember, they haven't even sent in Scott Frost yet for the in-home visit. So that's like the seal of the deal. Yeah. But this just shows you that it's guys that grind. They sent the right people to Lexington, too, to talk to him and people that are around him and to gain his trust. And I think that's what Nebraska did really, really quickly is we're not gonna pull this kid out of Kentucky and waste him. He's coming here to get an education, and he's going to thrive playing football and grow up as a man. And they were able to convince the Ryan Helds and the Troy Walters, Scott Frost, were able to convince people around him that this is the place for him. And then I'm sure that, you know, after his commitment, Kentucky struggles a bit. Kentucky doesn't draw any fans. You get the comment from the current player at Kentucky that says, you know what, Nebraska doesn't win, but they got 90,000 people. So I think there were a lot of factors that fell in line. But this is just grinding out recruiting. You want somebody, they don't ever say no to you. You continue to go with it, and now you got a commitment. Now hold on. You got 2 weeks. You never know what can happen. But I think we're all pretty confident that this kid said yes to Nebraska, and it's a done deal. And, boy, what an addition he'll be next year.
Do you think next year, by the way, Gary, because, you know, you can basically count on, what, 3 to 4 freshmen to actually do something in your incoming recruiting class? You know, everybody was high on Miles Jones. He didn't end up doing much. Injuries a part of that, of course. But do you think Wandale is a factor immediately when he steps on campus?
Yes. And I, watching his film, which we all have, you kind of have to go and go, who is he playing against? Are these people any good? And then you find out some of the teams he's playing against and some of the things that he's doing. And they're like, yep, this is the real deal. And I think if they identify where he can help them out, I think that helps current guys. Like, you know, what will J.D. Spielman's role be? We always say, hey, man, you got to stick him to the outside. And, you know, was he going to play in the slot? I think we're going to get away from a little bit on the wide receiver scale of, hey, to play outside or to play inside, you got to be this certain size. I think with Nebraska's offense, they feel comfortable enough. The guys can go outside, they can go into the slot. But if you have a guy like Wandale Robinson, I think he opens up a couple of different things, and he might be that Miles Jones of 2019 that we expected, that's pretty versatile. And I think you'll see, you know, everything now is a chess match. You're moving pieces where you're trying to out-scheme the other team, and you have more chess pieces than they do. And I think he just fits into that line of what they'll do, where he won't be lined up at a specific position all the time. I think they'll move somebody like him all over the place, which will benefit Nebraska and benefit the rest of the guys in that offense.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You know, you rank a lot of the, you know, if you rank a lot of the incoming recruits, You have to look at the graduate transfer of Darian Daniels, where Gary, I think his presence alone does so much and has the potential to really be the difference in Nebraska's defense that they just haven't had. I don't think you can undersell the importance of landing that guy to come in and contribute immediately.
I agree about him contributing immediately. I'm not sure. I think if he can be a 30 to 35 down guy for you, that's ideal. But he's a big guy that you're not going to move, that kind of gets a refresh on his career after being injured last year. I mean, he was one of the top players in Oklahoma State's recruiting class. I think the more depth you can add, you'd see a transfer last year that would step on the defensive line, and he never really stepped on the field.
No. But this guy's proven.
It also adds to the question of, does this mean that on the nose, the two Daniels, that you keep the Davises outside on the
Yes.
end? You know, which I think is important. I think Yes. Carlos and Khalil are much better outside than they are inside.
Yes.
So if you have the two Daniels and you maybe find somebody else to, add 10 to 15 snaps a game, I think that bodes well for Nebraska defensively. And then you can focus on the guys outside. And remember, you also have a Wildeman and a Rogers that redshirted last year.
Yeah. Yeah, but now, you see, Gary, between Darian and Damian just didn't have the conditioning to stay on the field much, but when he was on the field, you saw a difference. You now have two true noses coming into this year. You would expect Damian to improve his conditioning and all that. Whereas last year, you had, Damian, again, not very conditioned, so you couldn't count on him a lot. Stoltenberg's not a true 3-4 nose. The Davis twins aren't a true 3-4 nose. Now you have two of those guys, probably, right? If Damian ascends like he should.
And I think Damian you'll see his body start to take shape in the offseason. And we know what he can do. When he was right there lined up on the nose, you couldn't move him. And
no.
He would draw some double-team attention, and that's exactly what you need out of that position. You know, even though Stoltenberg was 3'10", he wasn't ideal for that spot.
No.
Daniels is a guy that you can't move.
Yep. He's big time, and having a little bit of big brother influence, I think, can help little brother. And I like that combo, not only from a talent standpoint, but just the drive side of it, Gary.
It also shows that, we've talked now for a while about roster transition, that having spots open on your roster is very, very beneficial. Mm. When you can have somebody fall into your lap like a graduate transfer that's going to play quality minutes at the last moment they show up and you have a spot for them, I think that's an important part of where Frost is going with his roster management and understanding needs and understanding that something could happen at the last moment, that a Trey Neal pops up, or in this case, Darian Daniels. Mm.
Gary, let's talk Nebraska-Creighton. What's your read? And I know you've been all over the country this week, but you have a great pulse on Nebraska basketball and Creighton basketball. Tough one Wednesday night for Nebraska. They didn't do enough to shut down Minnesota in the paint. They settled offensively with a lead. It's a game that you don't lose if you're this veteran of a squad. You took a step back instead of taking a step forward. How does Nebraska basketball react today against this in-state rival with the noise surrounding what Creighton's done to Nebraska the last 7 years?
Well, I don't think you overthink it. Vegas said you're a 7 to 7.5 point favorite for a reason. This isn't Creighton of last year, but this is a good Creighton team that still does Creighton things. They're going to shoot from the outside. They're going to have a lot of ball screens. They're going to make you work on defense. And that's what hurt Nebraska. It's Minnesota. They couldn't get stops down the stretch. Minnesota got going downhill, and then everything went out the window for Nebraska, and they lost their composure a little bit. I think you don't overthink this game, and you just play like you're capable of playing. Now, you're going to get a bump from playing at home, and Nebraska plays much differently at home of late. But if the game is close late, you start thinking, man, Tim Miles lost 14 in a row to McDermott. Creighton has won 7 in a row against Nebraska. So I think it's important for Nebraska to get a lead and play with a lead, because playing from behind on the road can be difficult. But this is a Creighton team, and I saw them last week against Gonzaga. If you have the opportunity, you got to throw out the knockout punch. Gonzaga, they're the number one team in the country for a reason. They got a bunch of different weapons. But when Creighton went into a lull, Gonzaga threw the hammer down. Last year, if you look at that game, there were opportunities where Nebraska had the spot to increase the lead or get back into the game. They had momentum, and they couldn't do it. I think Glenn Watson is huge today for Nebraska. Hmm. I think Glenn Watson has to dictate the tempo, hold on to the basketball. He's in charge of the orchestra today. And how Glenn Watson goes, I think Nebraska goes in getting everybody involved early. But what a great atmosphere it's going to be. This will be a lot of fun. But you're thinking, man, now or never if you're ever going to be great with your roster.
You know, between atmosphere, matchup, skill set, could this be the Isaiah Roby breakout game? It's not a great defense he's going against. It's a really good matchup. You know his skill set. Could this be the game?
It could be. I always ask the same question before every game starts, how they're going to officiate Isaiah Roby, and can he avoid getting in foul trouble? Because fouls follow him around. He's a different kind of player. I'll be interested to see who Creighton puts on him or how they attack him. If Creighton is shooting a lot of jump shots, I think that's pretty good for Nebraska because that shows that they have protected the rim. And you got some height for Creighton, but they like to shoot outside. But I think Roby on the defensive side, Mark, I think he'll make more of an impact today there than he will on the offense.
What's your take on Palmer? I mean, he kind of owned up to some bad choices against Tech. I think he's a phenomenal kid, and I think he's an incredible talent. And you saw him will Nebraska against Clemson. And then you kind of have a relapse, for lack of a better term, where he's held scoreless in the second half. There's some shots taken with the lead that maybe helped kind of spike a Minnesota run. Who needs to say anything, if at all, to Palmer about today? Is it Piers? Is it Coach Miles? What needs to happen with James? And again, you're right. Don't overthink it. But he's going to be extremely valuable too, because he's major.
Yeah. Here's what happens to me with him. He at times when he gets on a roll is so good that I think other guys stand around and watch him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into a situation where, man, you need a shot because things aren't going well. Guys stand around and watch JPJ, and sometimes he'll hit that shot, sometimes he doesn't. And he's extremely talented, there's no doubt about that. But, guys, I think the most important player, not only today, but for the entire season, I think today Glenn Watson is the most important guy. But I think every time that Nebraska's on the floor moving forward, the guy to watch is Isaac Copeland. Mm-hmm. I think Isaac Copeland, when Isaac Copeland plays up to his ability, he can be a dominating guy that can take over the game on both ends of the floor because of his size and what he's able to do on the offensive end, go inside, outside, on the defensive end where he's got so much length. I think he's the most important guy throughout the entire season. I think Glenn Watson is today. But there's no doubt, if you can squeak 15 to 20 every night out of JPJ, you're feeling pretty good. But he needs some people to come along with him. So when you get late in the ball game and you're down to your final few possessions, it's not just him. It's him with a lot of attention that can kick it to other people on the floor.
Gary Sharp, Hail Varsity Radio. Here's the other thing I don't like about this game, though, Gary, is you don't want it to be a track meet because you don't have enough depth, and that's Creighton's game. But you also shudder when you think about Nebraska just playing in a half court the whole game. Right?
Yeah.
Like, what's their offensive identity?
It's like, okay, as you break down this game and you got Mac versus Miles, it's almost, do you give bonus points for whatever team forces the other team to get to a half court game earlier? Because we've seen both teams, when they are forced to play half court offense, that can get real sketchy, especially with Nebraska. It just seems like then there's a lot of dribbling going on and you go into those scoring lulls. I think Creighton has had a week off to prep for this game.
Yep. That's huge.
Tyshawn Alexander, him and Glenn Watson is the matchup to watch today, because when Creighton started to go south against Gonzaga, and Gonzaga made the run to get back into the game, Creighton all of a sudden got away from what they were doing well, and they turned to Alexander, kind of like I was just saying about James Palmer Jr., and they stood around and watched Alexander, and they're saying, hey, just hit the big shot, and he couldn't get some of those to go. One thing that Gonzaga did really well, not only with their elements, their size, and guys, you know, going outside, hitting threes, ball movement was great. They passed up good shots for great shots, and that's why I think Watson really is the guy today to find good shots but get great shots and pass the basketball. I don't want to see a ton of dribbling. Pass the basketball, move the ball. make Creighton slide back and forth on defense, make them make quick decisions, and then you got to hit your shots. Because if you hit shots and you get a lead and you get some momentum, we know that place will be rowdy. I mean, that place might get to the point of being a little bit ugly today to get, you know, get a little angst out of the way after the seven straight years and what Creighton has done to Nebraska. But there's that thing just hanging out there that Creighton has found a way either to beat some of Nebraska's better teams in this series, and then you have the Miles versus McDermott. But don't overthink it today. You're the better team. Vegas says you are. Go out and prove it. And so that you can, even though the Minnesota loss is going to sting for a little bit because that's a conference game, at least you have this one. No one's yapping in your ear for 364 days that it's a blue state.
Well, I mean, it's a buy-in game, too. The Nebraska basketball fan base is disgruntled about the Minnesota loss. They're pissed about the Tech loss. And they are very much on that roller coaster of buy-in or screw it. You know, as good as this team is and as much talent as this team has, they don't want to get their heart broke again. And they see this game is one that can kind of help stabilize the relationship, so to speak. Sharpie, enjoy Oregon, man. Appreciate you coming on with us. And thanks for your time today. We'll get caught up next week.
Enjoy the game today, guys. It'll
See
be crazy.
It'll
and
be
enjoy
great.
Enjoy Nebraska volleyball today.
Absolutely. We'll do so. Take care, Sharpie. There he is, the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. And he nailed it. I mean, he is right on about just how intense today will be at PBA.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. I'm even considering just trying to get some tickets and going, man.
Well, dude, come kick it. I mean, we got the Real Red tip-off show going on at 4.
We got Papa Shot.
In the rail yard. Papa Shot's down there.
My boy Tanner might, you know, he's money. He's a lefty.
Do
he
it.
Can't trust him, southpaw.
Dude, I think Jacob Padilla's going to stop by around 4:10. You myself know. And Danny Burke. And
I was looking
we'll hear
StubHub.
From Jake Milheisen. We'll also have a little bit of Miles commentary.
Cheapest ticks you can find are $42 up in the nosebleeds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Decent seats, 70.
Ugh. Well, why don't you and the little one come on down, and worst case, we'll find a bar stool to warm up to.
Consider this.
Colton, give me a prediction.
I'll go Creighton 81-77.
Turn your mic off. We'll be back on Monday. Thanks.